Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Land Between the Lakes podcast. This is Dr. John Stamey. I've got my co-host, Elijah Henderson. Elijah, how are you doing tonight?
My friend, I'm doing good. It's been a bit of a doozy of a day, but I'm here now. It's good, and I'm ready to talk cryptid.
Well, that's great. I am ready to talk cryptids, too. A little bit later on in the show, I've got kind of an exercise for us to go through about cryptids, and I'm hoping that we are going to have a friend of mine to come on and tell an interesting story for everybody. So we'll see. You know what? We'll see how life goes on, and we'll have a great time anyway. But it's always good to have you. You're an interesting person to know. You're living up there in what I would call the Haunted Crescent, one of the most haunted areas in America, the Land Between the Lakes area, and then that swoop on down through Nashville and through Dixon County and through Adams, which is the location for the Bell Witch and everything. So we're just glad to have you here. Now, you told me as we were in the green room discussing what was going on, you said that you had had a nice discussion with an acquaintance of mine as well, Jimmy Blanton from Harlan, Kentucky. And what were you and Jimmy talking about?
Well, me and Jimmy were, you know, just kind of shooting the breeze, you know, things that are going on in Harlan. And have there been any recent Bigfoot or Dogman sightings up there? And we've talked to them quite a bit before, Jimmy Blanton, Marcella Chadwick, James Chadwick. They run a company up there called Paranormal Chaos, and they've done quite a bit of interesting stuff. On their side, they were telling me that they had researched an area, talked to somebody up there. There was some families up there in Harlan having some incidents with they're having a dogman problem up there. And as the story goes, it's kind of hard to know where to begin, honestly, because it seemed like across that mountainside there was almost the same dogman up there, because I recall that there was a family having some trouble with the dogman on their property, and it came up onto the porch, and the man that lived in the house said I'd heard that he cracked open the door and shot this dogman in the foot, and it ran off. And since that time, they've been finding tracks up there, these big three-toed footprint tracks that has a big chunk out of its foot. And we suspect that it's that same one that got shot in the foot. It's got like a big half circle or half moon shape out of its foot. It's just missing. And you see this particular footprint in different areas across the mountain. One incident area up there, there's these families, and it was being described that they were having dogmen come up on their property, and it was like it was intentionally trying to terrify this family, because they said it would rake its claws down the side of the house, almost like Freddy Krueger, and their pets, I think it was sheep, it would kill them and leave the bodies around where the family could see them. And they kept having these problems, them and two other families in the area, so they all went into debt with each other and took out money that they didn't have. And they built a fence around all their properties and put an electric box on it and electrified this fence to stop whatever it was that was coming up on their property. And it actually did stop at that time for a good while. Whatever had been harassing them just stopped showing up. And I think it was either 2020 or 2021, we talked to them again and we'd heard an update that the electrical box on this fence, something had came through with a branch and beat the wires off of that box, and it broke the electrical box, and they started coming back again and terrorizing the family, and it was going to be a few days for that fence to get fixed, so the family just had to leave for a few days and, you know, until this got sorted out. But Marcella, even on some of her property, has found those footprints before, the one with the half moon shape out of them, and had some trouble with these things. But there's been quite a bit of interesting dogman activity go on up there. I recall hearing, people have probably heard this before, but dogmen have the tendency to take the heads off of things. Well, I'd heard that there was a missing persons case up there, and all they found was the head. And I think it was chewed upon or something, but don't quote me on that. But Harlan's a very interesting place, very active at times.
Very active in terms of Dogman or Bigfoot or both?
I guess both. Jimmy said it's been a kind of quiet recently, but there's been quite a bit of stuff happen up there. And apparently, I can't remember for sure, I think it was around where that family had the fence built on their property. There was an old man that lived, I think, around there, may not have been, and they're trying to interview him about all this. And he said, if y'all don't stop talking about it, it's going to get bad again like it was in the 60s. And none of us ever found out what happened in the 60s, but apparently it was something bad. Yeah, very, very interesting spot up in Harlan, Kentucky.
Now, you're saying that there are rumors that there were some basically bad or scary dogman sightings in the 60s, correct?
From this one gentleman, he said that if y'all don't stop talking about it, like talking would make it resurface again or something, y'all are going to make it as bad as it was in the 60s. So something apparently bad had happened in the 60s, but he didn't share those details. He didn't want to talk about it. But there's like 4 or 5 families up there that have had incidents with dogmen, maybe even more.
You know, that is very interesting because I dealt with a gentleman whose family owned property next to Skinwalker Ranch. And first of all, they couldn't sell it. Nobody wanted to buy it, number one. Number two, and he said that, and this was, and the gentleman is actually an elder in the Mormon church in Salt Lake City. He said that you needed to be careful about even talking about skinwalkers because they would start haunting you. And that seems to be a recurring theme. The same thing about Bigfoot. I mean, the more you talk about Bigfoot, it seems as though the more likely you are to see Bigfoot or to experience things about Bigfoot. Now, so does that kind of mesh with some of your experiences?
Well, you know, that does remind me of a few things. You know, you said that in the case with skinwalkers, at least, talking about them would sometimes make it worse, correct?
That's right.
Well, I've always heard my whole life that names have power. I guess in the occult, that's a philosophy or something, that names have power, or I've at least heard that belief before. And
right.
My dad,
and
Johnny Henderson.
And I think what I've heard is that words have power. And I think that really speaks to what you're saying. So please go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to get that.
No, you're fine. I agree with both. I believe that both words and names have power. You know, if you look into the law of attraction side of things, there does seem to be an actual science there for people that research that. But if you keep a thought going over and over and over and over again, supposedly since, you know, our brain puts out frequencies, that frequency eventually will attract it to you, so to speak, because your brain is consistently putting out the same frequency if you're maintaining one thought. But and perhaps that can account for some of the cryptid sightings. I don't know. That's an interesting thought. But my dad, Johnny Henderson, he had lived in a haunted house at one time in a haunted apartment. Had a lot of frightening activity there. It seemed very aggressive or just malevolent. But he told me once that he'd taken a shower, and when he got out, there was a name written in the steam on the glass, and he would never speak that name because he said there was a priest that told him, don't ever repeat that name because it will summon it to you. Now, is that a similar thing happening with some of the Dogman sightings or some of the Bigfoot sightings? And I don't know, but it could be possible.
Right. Now, it's extremely interesting that you mention a name being written in steam in a bathroom after a shower. Because I have a friend who has a fiance, and she has a condo in a very, very haunted building. And she occasionally will take a shower. It will steam up the mirror in her bathroom, and she will see a particular name written in like in a fingerprint on the mirror. And she is smart enough not to discuss that. She has told her fiance about this, and I just think it's really interesting. In fact, this is a couple that you are likely to meet at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, which is going to be October 1st. It's going to be a lot of fun up there in Paris, Tennessee, at the Paris Convention Center. And by the way, speaking of the Paris Convention Center, you're going to be up there on August the 13th, correct?
I reckon so, yes, sir.
So tell us why you're going to be up there.
Calamity.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know exactly everything I'll be doing. There's a panel at 6 that I'm a part of. But it's the Dogman Paris, Tennessee Conference. You got Josh Turner, Barton Nunley, D.A. Roberts, Bettina Moss, Jody Cook, Ken Gearhart. Seems like I've seen Lyle Blackburn, but don't quote me on that.
Right,
I'm not sure
if saw Lyle on the
poster
as well.
But it should, if everything pans out, be a very interesting time for everybody. It's on August 13th, and hopefully it'll be a pretty good time.
In fact, August 13th, we're talking about a week and 2 days from right now. So, I mean, everybody will be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sorry that I will not be able to be up there. I'll actually be working on one of my Comic-Cons out in the world, so to speak. So this week I'll be up in Havelock, North Carolina, working on the Havelock Comic-Con, and I've got some commitments on the 13th. But I hope you'll tell us a little bit about it, maybe take us some pictures, and be sure to tell Lyle Blackburn. I'll have to send you a copy of my latest book, and left, and if you don't mind, give Lyle a copy of it. He's a friend of mine. He helped me christen the first annual South Carolina Lizardman Festival, and that was about 5 years ago, actually. So Lyle's been a good guy.
Nice.
He's been a lot of support and a lot of help. So, I'll make sure you have a copy of my book to give him, and I'll give you a copy, too. That'll be great. So, it'll be wonderful.
Let him make sure he's there first.
Nope.
I'm just looking at the list now. He is there. Nick Redfern,
right.
Ron Murphy, David Weatherly, Nick Valente, Kenny Irish, Steve Stockton, Tony Merkel, Josh Nanocchio, and Jay Vault Tucker. So impressive lineup of researchers.
Well, it really is. It's going to be maybe a bit of a small conference, maybe about 100 people or so, but I think it's going to be a good one, and again, sorry I can't be there. I found out about it probably when you and I started talking, and I was not really able to make that work. Now, we've got a caller from area code 859. Who would that be? Hello, is this Evan? Hello, hello.
Is it connected?
Well, the connection dropped. We'll see if he'll be coming back. I believe that's our guest, Evan Reihard. He's a Dogman experiencer. And, we don't have too many Dogman experiencers in and around these parts, do we?
Well, I mean, I guess it just depends on the area, A place where I live here in Clarksville, Tennessee, about 10 minutes down the road, there was a gentleman on Highway 4813, that's the one, had a Dogman encounter over there. So, I guess they do happen. You got all the – I've heard some Dogman sightings around Werewolf Springs before, which we talked about a week or two ago. LBL, you know, you get sightings from up there. So they do happen.
Right, but doesn't seem like too many of them. You know, sometimes they're hard to find. But anyway, that's great, and I hope whoever that is, if that's Evan or if that's somebody else calling in, hopefully they'll call back, because that would be very interesting. So anyway, we've discussed a little bit about the Dogman Conference, and that will be August the 13th. And then we've got, of course, the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference at the same location, the Paris Convention Center, at essentially. Now, how close is the Paris Convention Center and Paris, Tennessee, to Land Between the Lakes?
Well, there's an entrance to Land Between the Lakes. There's down in the bottom in Dover, Tennessee. That's where the southern entrance to LBL is. I'm told that you drive through Dover, or at least for me, you drive past that entrance into the park, and it shouldn't be too far up that way. Let's see here. I can get you a specific answer.
Right. Well, that'd be great, because, I mean, I've had people ask me, how close is the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference to Land Between the Lakes? And what we're hoping is that on Sunday, maybe you and I can go out in the woods with some folks and just take them around, those that are interested. And we can see what we can see, because it's always a lot of fun going out with an experienced experiencer. Now, there's a phrase for you, an experienced experiencer. And you and your father over the years had a number of experiences, did you not?
We have. I wouldn't say we've seen anything. I mean, he's seen three Sasquatch and Montgomery Bell before, but I haven't specifically seen any actual creatures I could, you know, confirm, but I've heard plenty of sounds in the woods. I've had rocks thrown at me, been around big tree breaks, whoops, roars, hollers, you know, plenty of auditory things, just nothing visible.
Well, that makes you an experiencer, a bit of an experienced experiencer. That's a great phrase. We'll have to keep that one under our hat and pull that one out at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. I think that's a great phrase. But yeah, I mean, I have had a number of experiences as well, and I think probably the most terrifying of all took place in the mountains of northeast Georgia, way up in the mountains in Rabun County. And I don't know if you've heard about that one, but could I share that story with you tonight?
Please do.
Right. I run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Clayton, and I'm there frequently because I'm, you know, trying to arrange things with folks, talk to people, and really keep the interest going, because it's an exciting conference. This past April, we had 340 people show up at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. It was a lot of fun. And we had Matt Delf, we had Robin McCray and her husband Pat McCray. We had Sonia Thompson from The Walking Dead. In fact, for a while, probably the most famous lady zombie on television in the world. She was on the cover of Time magazine. Nice lady, good friend of mine. So we had a lot of really cool folks. And this happened about 2 years ago. I was coming in late one night. I had been up to Franklin, North Carolina, which is just across the state line, visiting some friends, trying to work out an event up in Franklin, which we did not have due to COVID. But anyway, I'd been up there, and I was scheduled to get down there in the Clayton area. And I called up my buddy, who has a little cabin that he lets me stay at. It's about, 150 feet from his house, and it's a nice little place for me to stay, and I always tip him 25 or 30 bucks for his time, because that's one way that they make a living. So I was going to do that, and I called him up. I said, well, you know, I'm going to be a little bit late tonight, because it's just been late trying to get everything done, and I'm coming down the mountain, and I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to get in a wreck. So he said, that's no problem. So what happened is I got in about 10:30 that evening. I went to his house, said my greetings to everyone, spoke to his kids, spoke to his wife, and he and I chatted just a little bit, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I am tired. I'm going to go up to the cabin. I'm going to have me a drink, and I'm going to get a good long night's sleep. Don't even count on me until 9 o'clock in the morning. So I said my goodbyes to everybody, went and got my bags from the car and took them in the cabin and fixed myself a drink and sat down on the futon in the middle of the cabin. It was a one-room cabin. And I was having my drink, my nice, calm, civilized drink, and I noticed something very unusual. Normally I could hear forest sounds, you know, crickets chirping, things like that. And I really couldn't hear any. Now, Elijah, can you really remember a time when you haven't heard the typical forest sounds when you were in the forest?
You know, I mean, there have been plenty of times I've been out in the woods and heard the environmental sounds. There's plenty of times when it's just been very quiet.
Right. Well, it was a little too quiet for my taste. I said, well, this is very odd. And then I started hearing some wood sounds, something moving to the left-hand side of the cabin. I said, oh, it's probably a squirrel or a deer or something, because they have those up there. And where he lives, it's a bit remote. So I'm sitting there. I heard a little bit of movement in the woods, you know, because in the woods, whether you like it or not, there are always dead leaves around, and you can hear things moving around. So I'm sitting there. It got very quiet again, and I thought, this is a little bit odd, because he has three dogs, and he's got a dog entrance in the front door, and normally whenever anything goes on around my little cabin, those three dogs would be coming out like bandits trying to scare or see what was going on, and they weren't doing that, and that was a little freaky. So anyway, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I heard a tremendously loud thump on the left-hand side of the cabin that shook the cabin. I mean, you know, it wasn't like an earthquake or anything, but it's something slammed against the cabin. Oh, my God, what is this? And then I heard a footstep. And then passed about 6 or 7 seconds, and I heard another footstep, and I said, oh, no, can't be happening to me. I think I know what this is. And so this thing, whatever it was, I could hear the left, the right footsteps as it made its way past the left side of the cabin, and then it started coming toward the front door, and it was still deadly quiet. And I was terrified because I knew what was outside. And at that point, when it got to the front door of that cabin, now I'm going to tell you something. You talk about something easy to get into. A four-year-old without a BB gun could have gotten in there. It had nothing but a little rubber band kind of thing that kept the door closed. I mean, anything, all they had to do was push on the door and they could have gotten in. And whatever it was stopped right in front of the door, and I knew it was a Bigfoot. There was nothing else that could have made those elongated sounds of those footprints coming around the corner to the front of the building. And so what I did was I quietly reached up and turned off the one light in the cabin room. It had a fan around on it. And I turned it off, and I sat there, and there was no sound anywhere. I was terrified. I quietly finished my drink, poured another double, and just sat there in sheer terror. And it must have been, I don't know, 15 to 20 minutes, and I looked at my cell phone. And this was the most frightening thing of all. I looked at it, and it was 17% and going down as I watched it. And that was really terrifying because, you know, had something happened to me, I would have had no cell phone service to call. And so about 20 minutes later, I started hearing a chirp. a little bit of noise outside, like the forest was coming back alive. So I was still very much afraid, and I looked at the phone, and it was down to 13%. It's like something was draining the battery. So I'm just sitting there, and I guess I passed out, because by 3 o'clock in the morning, I remember waking up, and I could hear the full sounds of the woods again. And I felt a little bit better, but I knew one thing. I was not going to go outside until sunup. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. And looked down, and it was at about 8%. And my cell phone doesn't just go down that quickly. The problem was I'd left my cell phone charger in my car outside, and I was not going out to get it. I just was not. So I kind of passed out there on the futon. I woke up about 6:30. It was really scary. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to go outside and get it. And if something's going to get me, it's going to get me. But it was full-time daylight. I walked outside, went to the car, got it, rushed back in. And I plugged my cell phone up, and I waited for a while. Now, it was about 7:30, and I made a phone call to my friend Robin McCray, who is a Bigfoot experiencer par excellence. And, in fact, you have been on a podcast with Robin McCray, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's right. And so I said, hey, Robin, sorry to call you so early. She said, she laughed. She said, oh, that's no problem. I heard you had quite an experience with the Bigfoots last night. 7:30 in the morning, I said, now, how did you know? She said, oh, they told me. Remember, I do mind speak. And they were busy hunting, and they wanted to make sure that you didn't come out of the cabin. I said, well, they made it very clear. Somebody made it very clear that I was not to come out of that cabin. Scared the hell out of me. She said, well, that's kind of what they were trying to do, and they did. So anyway, I went down to see my friend because they were beginning to stir. And it was very interesting. I walked in because he keeps the front door open when he has guests in the cabin, just so if you want to just come in, use the restroom or whatever, you can do that. So I walked right on in, and Chief, one of his three dogs, was coming out of his and Amy's bedroom. And Chief looked like he had been hit on the head with a baseball bat. He was staggering. And then another one of the dogs came out and exhibited the same exact symptoms. And I said, wow, that's what can happen to you when you have been zapped by a Bigfoot. Now, are you familiar with the term being zapped by a Bigfoot?
Perhaps I've heard it differently, but is it kind of like being pinged?
Yes, and it can hurt, and it can mess you up a little bit. So, yeah, and I asked Will, I said, what's wrong with the dogs? He said, I don't know. They're fine. And no, they weren't. And they weren't going outside. They were staying inside the house. So, anyway, it was just a very frightening experience. I knew I was about 5 feet away from a Bigfoot. And I knew that I was not going outside. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's in my book, Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Bigfoot. And third edition,
man,
is coming out. Well, it's a true story, and it's as much of an experiencer story as anybody else has got, and I know what was out there. I've never been that frightened in my life. I mean, that is the closest I have ever come to a heart attack. I've had a stroke, and that was from stress, okay? But that is the closest mm-hmm. I've ever come to having a heart attack. And if something had jiggled that door or whatever, I would have had a heart attack. I would have. And the first
encounter, that's awesome.
And the one phrase that kept running through my head is, why me? And why now? And I knew, I mean, it's like, why me? I haven't done anything to anybody. I'm just sitting here having a drink, trying to relax and go to bed. But anyway, that's my story. I'm completely sticking to it. It's in my book. It's as accurate as I can be. And it was amazing. But anyway, just glad that I made it out alive. And Robin said the Bigfoots were just kind of laughing because they knew they scared me. They did. Well, now I've got another story that happened about a month later. It was my friend Will's birthday, and I saw that on Facebook, and I happened to be in Clayton, Georgia. So I decided I would just go by and pull a surprise visit to him and say happy birthday. So I did. I quietly drove up, quietly parked my car behind the cabin, and got out and quietly walked down the hill to his house. And I knocked on the door, and he came to the door, and I said, happy birthday. He shook his hand and gave him a hug. He said, wow, that's great. Thank you very much. I said, yeah, you know, it's great to see you. And he introduced me to his friend. We talked a little bit about Bigfoot. We talked a little bit about the paranormal, and I had to go on because I needed to go on into Clayton and do some work to prepare for the upcoming Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which was about, 4 months away, but still had some work to do. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, it was kind of a rainy, quiet day in Clayton, Georgia. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back up to the cabin. I'm just going to stand around and look at the woods and enjoy the rain because it's fun. Then I'm going to get in my car and leave. He said, okay, that's great. And so I said goodbye to him and his friend that I had just met. So it was great. So I walked up the hill, got to my car, leaned against the car, and was just enjoying the quiet mist and the rain that was coming down. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm standing there, staring across the one lane road, just staring there, letting my blood pressure go down and relax and enjoying what I was seeing. When all of a sudden, about 100 feet away from me, I saw this 3-foot by 4-foot piece of something lift up off the ground. And I saw that thing into the air like a projectile about 50 feet. It arced over one of those tall Georgia pine trees and came crashing down on the other side. You know what I did? Are you ready for this one, Elijah?
I'm ready, buddy.
I waved. I said, hey, thanks for the greeting. And, you know, I was thinking about it. If a Bigfoot wanted to say, hey, hello, we know you're here, the first thing that they would not do, at least with me, is they wouldn't come walking down a one-lane road toward me because that would give me a heart attack. So the best way for them to do something would be to pick up a large object and pitch it up over a tree, something that no human could do, and watch it come down and hear it. I mean, that would acknowledge that they saw me. They were there, but they were far enough away. They didn't intend to scare me or come after me. And I realized as soon as it came down, I just picked it up. I said, hey, how's it going? Glad to see you. And I got in my car and left. I decided it was time to go. So, yes, that was experience number two with the Bigfoot up there in northeast Georgia, up in the very top of the mountains. And I'm going to tell you what, it's still scary up there. I don't like going up there at night, but I've done it before to get out and get to the cabin, and they don't bother me anymore. They know that once I've gone inside, I'm in for good, and I think they taught me a lesson. So now I hope you didn't mind my stories, but these are true stories, and I've been through it and know what I've seen.
Good
know
story.
What I've seen. Well, thank you, and so I know when I go up there, I'm not afraid up there anymore. Because I don't think they're going to bother me. But they know that I know once I go inside that cabin, I'm staying inside until sunup. And that's just it. So those are my Bigfoot stories. Not only am I sticking to them, but they're real. And I'm very privileged to have had those two interactions with Bigfoot. I'm just lucky. Lucky I got out and I have a feeling that they know who I am, and when I come up there, they think kindly of me because otherwise they could mow down that cabin. They could walk into it and knock it down and pick me up and take me away. So I have a feeling, and I also have got this feeling that there, and Robin has too, that there are a lot of dog men up there in the North Georgia Mountains. So I don't know if you've been up there, but maybe one day I can take you up there to my friend's cabin, and we can see what we can experience an evening or two up there. I think it would be worth our while if you're up for a little vacation in North Georgia.
Man, sounds like a hoot to me.
Well, it really is, and you just know that you're close to them because there's nothing up there. There's probably 20 houses on that entire side of the mountain, lots of woods, and just you got to be careful. So anyway, those are my experiences, and they're a lot of fun, and I enjoyed them. They're in my book, and I'm sticking to them. So anyway, those are my experiences. And so let me ask you this. Do you have any more experiences or any more stories that you've got for us tonight? Because I think when people listen to this podcast, they enjoy hearing stories. They really do.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. You know, if we don't have any other guests tonight, I think people at least enjoy just, like you said, hearing the stories, hearing encounters, and just the unusual, so to speak.
That's exactly right. And what we'll do next time is we'll have some more stories. I'll see. Apparently our guest did not make it on tonight. He's in Portland, Oregon. Something might have come up. We'll see what we can do to have another guest or two, because I enjoy listening to stories. That's what the paranormal is about. It's about stories and experiences. Don't you agree?
Basically so, yeah. And I mean, just about anywhere you go, just about everybody has at least one unusual story from their life to tell. It may be something small, but generally everybody you talk to has at least one weird thing to tell.
You know, that is absolutely the truth. Everybody seems to have a ghost or a UFO story, or maybe a cryptid story like a Bigfoot story, which is kind of interesting. And so anyway, with that, we'll say good night to everybody from the Land Between the Lakes podcast, stories in and around LBL, the Land Between the Lakes, between Lake Berkeley and Lake Kentucky, created by John F. Kennedy in 1963 by an executive order. And it's a beautiful place. But I tell you what, Elijah, it can get a little scary at night there, can't it?
It certainly can. Anybody that goes up there camping, if you want dog man activity, stay toward the northern part of LBL. If you want Bigfoot activity, stay toward the southern part. They kind of take territory, so to speak. I don't reckon anybody
really
knows why.
Well, I tell you what, when I go up there with you, I'll stay till about sundown, and then I'll find the nearest Holiday Inn. How about that?
Come on, man. We're going to go camp in Hotel California.
Oh, you're going to scare me. I can tell that. Well, because I know they have some
dog gets man spooky there at night, I'll be honest with you.
If we have a big enough crowd, then maybe we can do that. So anyway, we'll have to talk about it. But anyway, thanks a lot for being here tonight. We're glad to have you. We look forward to having you back next week, and we'll have a guest. I'll see who I can find, or if you find a good one, we'll do it. And I want to say good night to everybody on behalf of Land Between the Lakes, the scariest spot in America. I'll say that. And I'm going to give you the last word, Elijah.
Well, hope everybody has a good night. For what we had tonight, I hope you all enjoyed it. I mean, we had a few good stories to tell. It wasn't an extremely long podcast, but it was still enjoyable. And, I guess we'll talk to y'all at a later point. And y'all
have
a good night.
Everybody have a good one. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the LBL podcast. Take care. Say good night, Elijah.
Good night and ciao.
Good night to everybody.